Well, praise the Lord. Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. Good to have you on board this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you for this remarkable, amazing opportunity you give me to brag on your son, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did personally for us. Father, what he did for this world. Father, let me brag on him for a little while this morning. Have your will in your way. Father, if there's somebody out there that's never been saved, never been born again, oh, they got religion, they got a denomination, maybe they even got wet one time with a baptism, but they never called upon Jesus Christ to save their soul. They've never been born again, as Jesus Christ said in the book of John in chapter 3 and verse 7. Father, I pray they do that today. And Father, for the Christian today, Father, I pray they'd live every day from this day forward as if the judgment seat of Christ was tomorrow, because the judgment seat of Christ can be tomorrow. Father, we love you. Again, ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open your Bible to Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36 and verse 26 in particular this morning. Job in 36 and verse 26. I want to preach you a message this morning. Where is the Elijah of the Lord God? Where is the Elijah of the Lord God? I know where the Lord God is, and I know what he's looking for. He's looking for some Elijahs. Job chapter 36 and verse 26. Here's Elihu, and Elihu's the only one that God doesn't rebuke in the book of Job. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and Job, they all get it in the neck, but Elihu doesn't. Maybe it's for this one verse right here. He says, behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. Behold, God is great. Amen. He declares this in no uncertain terms, and therefore it goes without saying, God does great things. Not only is God great, amen, within himself, but he accomplishes great things for his people. Even the heathen in the Old Testament recognize this. And in Psalm 126, the heathen say, the Lord hath done great things for them. And it seems to remind the Jews how great their God is in seeing he just turned their captivity. You look at Psalm chapter 126 and verse 1. And it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. There was a time when both the heathen of the world and the Jews knew that God did great and magnifical things. When you read the history of the early church and early Christians in Acts, excuse me, it fills you with awe of how these first Christians were daily telling of the great things God was doing and the prayer that was being answered every day. Conversions, as thousands being added to the church daily. You won't see that anymore in America. We saw one saved a few weeks ago. Praise the Lord. That's just the times we're in. That one that got saved a few weeks ago is like the thousands that were added daily to the church 2,000 years ago. It's where we are today. Healings, miracles, deliverances, needs being met, hedges of protection being raised up, the enemy being put down, personal victories. The list is unending this morning. I think those early Christians were awestruck at God's greatness. They, the apostles, listen to me, the apostles came to expect the unbelievable, if not the impossible. And I don't see that today. I don't see that today in our brand of Laodicean Christianity. We're not that first century church at Ephesus, for crying out loud. We're not that church at Philadelphia anymore. Anybody that tells you they are, they're lying through their teeth. They don't understand their Bible. They don't understand the times we're living in. We're in the Laodicea church. Doesn't mean you have to submit to it, but that's the church we're in. That's the age we're in. And in this age, Christians haven't come to expect the unbelievable or the impossible from their God. There's something wrong, bad. There's something bad happening today with this generation of Christianity. No longer do we hear testimonies of our great God doing extraordinary things for his people. Instead, what is presented to the heathen and even in Christian circles is an anemic. You know what anemia is? It's an iron deficiency. You know what a sword is made out of? Iron. You know what the word of God is likened unto? A sword. Anemia is an iron deficiency. Not enough, get this now, not enough red blood cells. Oh, some of you, you're saved. Some of you, you got Christ dwelling in you, but you got all of Christ you want. You know, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Paul is the same Holy Spirit that indwelt you. The difference between you and Paul is you got all of God you want, and Paul could never get enough of God. Same God, same offices, same Holy Spirit. The difference? Laodicea versus Ephesus. That's what's presented to this world today. A powerless God who must be bedridden. He's impotent. In fact, that reminds me of a story about a prophet who made light of a heathen God who couldn't help his people. He was the impotent one, if you will. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, if you will. 1 Kings in chapter 18, and look at me in verse 23. The Bible says, let them therefore give us two. Here's God's Super Bowl. Here's the contest on Mount Carmel with Elijah. Remember the title of my message, where is the Elijah of the Lord God? Here's Elijah on Mount Carmel against 450 prophets of Baal, Ahab, and Jezebel's personal entourage, if you will. Let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves. Here's the contest. And cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call on the name of your gods, plural. And I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Let me stop right here for a moment in this contest and say this. Some of you Christians listening to me, you don't have enough faith in your God to stick your neck out like Elijah's doing. Look, Elijah has so much confidence in his God, that his God is the God. And that his God will come through, and that his God answers prayers, and that his God wants to be exalted among the heathen. And he sticks his neck out here, 450-1. And look what he's saying here. You call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of my Lord, and we'll see which one answereth by fire. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it. First, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Amen. Oh, my soul, Elijah's a negative preacher. Oh, people don't want negative preachers today. People want positive preachers like Joel Osteen. People want to slip into the pews in their wickedness and slip out of the pews in their same wickedness. People don't want the preacher digging around in the kitchen, if you will, opening the refrigerator, amen, if you will. They don't want that. They want the power of positive preaching. That's what they want. They don't want the negative. But it's in the negative where God is. That's where God dwells. That's where you need. And here's Elijah in verse 27. He mocked them. Amen. He criticized their false religious beliefs. Amen. Society tells you can't do that today. But let me tell you something. When you got the truth of the living God and you got the truth of the Holy Scriptures, that King James Bible, I'll give you the authority. It'll give you the boldness and the courage to take a stand because you have the truth. And Elijah had it. And Elijah knew it. And he mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing. maybe he's on the bathroom. Or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And the heathen, they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor answer, nor any to answer, nor any regarded. Today, 2020, the heathen are laughing at us, and they're mocking our God. Because unlike the heathen in the Old Testament, and the New Testament today, they believe he cannot do great things for you and me. What Elijah shows in verses 30 to 40, and for sake of time, you can read that on your own. But Elijah, in his great faith, knowing that God will bring that fire down, makes that thing so wet, so sodden with water, that it was impossible for fire to burn there unless God did it. And that's how much faith Elijah had. And it's what's missing in you and I today, a complete confidence in God and his greatness and his exploits and the fact that God wants to exhibit them for his people. Three quick things this morning. Where's the Elijah, the Lord God, today? Where's the Christian of the Lord God today that's like Elijah? We don't brag on God enough. Can I say that this morning? You and I don't brag on God enough. In testimonies, in witnesses, in our lives. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. David says this. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds, make known his deeds, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk ye. Every one of you listening to me this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a testimony. You have a testimony. And you can win anybody to Jesus Christ with that testimony if you just open your mouth. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Hey, when something happens in your life out in public, you know what you ought to say? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, those words aren't reserved for the sanctuary. Amen. You ought to use those words all over the place. God answers a prayer. God comes through for you. Listen, the heathen ought to hear about it. Whether they're going to believe you or not, the heathen ought to hear about that. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Amen. This is when David brought the ark of God in. Amen. How can the church rejoice and glorify? How can the heathen know of the fame of our great God? Amen. How can he know that? Amen. Over there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. You notice that when the fame went out, the people came in. Let me tell you something. If the fame of God, if the fame of Jesus Christ would leave your lips, people come to you and inquire. people would come to you and inquire. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed what could happen if you just simply throw out there every once in a while, "Thank you, Lord." Somebody rejoices over something. They're not going to thank God for them. Why don't you do it for them? That may provoke them. Amen. Somebody gets a pay increase or you know, gets a new job or a step up, a job promotion or something, and they're a heathen, and they're not going to give God the glory for that. Why don't you do it for them? "Hey, man, I got a raise." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a great God. Boy, you'd be amazed. People start knowing you're a Christian. People start hearing the fame of Jesus Christ coming out of your lips. You know what they're going to do? People are going to come to you. People are going to come to you. Amen. Look back at 1 Chronicles 16. Look at verse 23. "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory. Declare his glory among the heathen. His marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are his, are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place." Verse 35, "And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." Amen. Glory in thy praise. You know what? You know what, Christian? You and I, we don't brag on God enough. That's number one. We don't brag on God enough. Number two, it's a faith thing. Number two, it's a faith thing. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Look at Matthew chapter 17. One of the reasons God isn't doing great exploits? You want to know one of the reasons why God isn't doing great exploits? I'll bet you you've thought about this. I bet you those of you that have taken the time to read through your Bible and seen the great exploits that God did in the Bible, and you kind of stick your head up from the pages and you kind of muse and ponder and meditate and wonder for a moment, why isn't God doing those exploits today? Why isn't God doing those exploits today? I'll tell you why. You ready for this? Oh, this is real deep. Yo, this is a nugget right here. Oh, you're going to want to write this one down. This is worth all the marbles right here. You ready for this? His people aren't asking. His people aren't asking. And why aren't they asking? Look at Matthew 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now here were the apostles, and they couldn't cast out a devil. They couldn't cast out a devil. And it was because their unbelief. It was because of their unbelief. And that's it right there. You let me tell you something, Christian. Let me tell you something about you and me. Amen. You don't think God can move that mountain anymore. Oh, yeah. Let's get down into it here, Christian. Let's get down into it. It's a faith thing. Amen. You want to know why God isn't doing great? First of all, God ain't got much to work with today. Let's state the obvious. But the obvious aside, you don't think God can move that mountain. You have not because you ask not. That's it right there. It's like you think God has suffered some sort of power outage, or he's on a journey, he's on vacation, or as the Roman Catholics teach in theistic evolution, that he took some siesta after he got the quote-unquote ball rolling with creation and got that thing going, and then took his hands off that thing, and everything has evolved to this point. But that's quite a siesta your God's taking here this morning. It's your unbelief, the reason heathen don't see great exploits by your God. The verse says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, but you don't believe it. You don't believe it. You don't. I see it in the way we pray today. We pray defeated prayers designed to protect God from the embarrassment of if he doesn't come through. Like, you know, when you're praying, if it be your will, we give God an out. Little things like that. James chapter 1 and verse 16 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Lastly, this morning, as I close up, last reason this morning, God is great and nobody knows it, including his own people. I'll close where we began. Look at Job chapter 36, amen. I'll close where we began. Job in chapter 36. And look with me in Job chapter 36 and verse 26, right where we began. Job 36 and 26. It says, behold, God is great and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. God is supposed to be known by his works. The heathen might know there is a God, but they know not who or what he is because of unbelief in his own children, having caused less miracles and astonishing feats and exploits that had the world to say, as the heathen of old, the Lord hath done great things for them. The heathen aren't saying that because his own people and the heathen don't know. My question to you tonight, this morning, is not that of the prophet of old, where is the Lord God of Elijah, but rather, where is the Elijah of the Lord God? Amen? Where is the Elijah of the Lord God? That's you. That's you. This morning, Lord bless you, and might you be a blessing to him.